We've never, since we've worked together, ever had a warm-up or a preparation or an outline.
No, we just hit it.
Once again, here we are. Just hit it. So I just drank to your coming out.
Yes, here we go.
Clicked our glasses, and I think it's tremendous. It's exciting, and it's terrifying.
I'm not terrified.
I am. I'm scared to death for you.
Really? What do you think's going to happen?
Now I know how my mother felt.
That means you really love me.
Well, now don't get carried away.
It was the Marie Claire piece. When they were doing how many sex partners have you had? And when she called me on the phone, we had just had a discussion about coming out. And people say, I'm gay, I'm straight. You always make that point. People say what they are, the label.
They give a label.
They don't talk about what kind of sex they have.
Mm-mm.
So that no one learns anything.
No, absolutely nothing. And saying how many people you've had sex with doesn't tell anybody anything. And though you did a little bit better by saying that you'd had sex with all of the tax brackets.
That was pretty good. When I'm like, I've had sex with every tax bracket.
Oh, that was primo. That still doesn't say what kind of sex. And it doesn't say, were you having orgasms? Did you like it? Did you keep a record of their dicks or the size of them? Or when I actually started a diary where I started to describe the guy's penis. And one of my first memoirs, I had that in. And my agent at the time, Frank, this old gay man, pissed him off. He said, I don't want to hear all the details of the men you've had sex with.
That's the interesting part. What are you talking about? That's what I want to know.
Well, people don't want to even hear it. And one of the nastiest comments I got was, well, who cares what kind of sex you had with whoever you had it with?
Because it's fascinating. It's
interesting. Who do you think you are?
It's someone else's experience. That's all.
Well, I know this and you know this. And I mean, for me, certainly, the consciousness raising group and the 12-step programs, it's all about, and the Native American. It's talk story. We share our stories.
I got one piece of hate mail on Facebook. Because I talk about in the beginning how I penetrated my vagina for the first time with the Barbie doll leg. And we had said that in a YouTube clip. It wasn't like anything new. And remember you said you did it with a jump rope?
Handle.
So some guy wrote me and he was like, I just want you to know that part about where you took your Barbie doll and stuck it inside you was gross, gross, gross.
I bet he goes and finds his daughter's Barbie doll and gets it up his butt.
So I just wrote back and I'm like, Tom, keep your panties on. I was just being honest.
Oh, you answered them?
Yeah. Because I'm just telling you what happened and what I did. I was a child. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not censoring. Like, I can't control what I did when I was 10.
It's so... Oh. I wouldn't answer them.
He didn't answer me back.
My favorite line for anyone who's, you burn in hell, and they read you the riot act, or you're crazy, you can't talk like that, and this is wrong, and Grant's response would be, you may be right. Stops it cold. You may be right. What are they going to say now? Well, I don't think I am, and how come you don't want to argue with me? Because what if I'm not? I mean...
Oh, I'm just so happy you liked it, because when I did it, you never know how it's going to come off. I love the picture. I wanted to be smiling.
Oh, no. The Marie Claire picture? Not liking it at all.
I liked the body and the bare feet.
Well.
I did. I liked it. But people said they liked the smirk. I look like I'm smirking. Kind of like,
No, it was like, fuck you. It's not exactly a smirk.
Well, I did all kinds of... They had me smiling. They had my head back. We did the whole kind of serious gaze.
Across the board.
We did every look, and they picked that one.
They want to make you look a little sinister.
Everyone thought it was a turn-on. They were like, oh, no, it looks like you're smirking because you're happy. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I did.
Nah.
But that was, that was only one piece of it. And then doing the photo shoot and being sexual.
Well, when I read it, I was just embarrassed.
Because I dedicated it to you.
No, it's like It's my fault. I've created a monster. What will people think?
I was thinking about this on the way over. When I was a little girl, my grandmother and my mother were afraid I'd be arrogant. So they used to tell me all the time that I wasn't attractive. And how they would do it, they would say, you know, men look at everyone, but see so-and-so, she's a beautiful woman. You're okay, but you're not beautiful. And they would always compare me to people and stuff. And it was the fear, right, that I would be this kind of entitled woman and that I would know that I was attractive and I would use that for evil. You know what I mean?
Watch out.
And from the last few weeks, realizing that I am attractive and doing what I did, I don't feel entitled and I don't feel like I'm better than anyone, but I feel good to be me and I feel confident. And I feel strong. And I feel like I can do anything I want to do.
Can't ask for more.
Why do we have to be weak?
Okay, here's the thing. Drives me crazy. When I was running the workshops, we'd be sitting in the circle nude, and the most beautiful woman present would start to tell you, how do you feel about your body? She'd say, well, I just can't stand my nose, and my breasts are uneven, and my stomach bulges, and... She would sit there and tear herself apart. And we're all sitting there looking at this gorgeous creature with our mouths hanging open. So it's like, what really got me is when you said, I can be proud about who I am. Yeah. And it had nothing to be whether you were beautiful Mm-mm. or skinny or fat or ugly. It's who you are. So your parents, including grandma, were trying to get you to be modest.
And that's not who I am.
Hardly. That's not why I wanted you as a partner.
I'm just an exhibitionist. I am. And it's not like I'm so beautiful or I want to be a model or an actress. It's not about that.
Well, that's dead end crap. What you're doing is much more.
I just want to be in the sun. I want to feel the sun on my face. I want to feel good about myself. I want to be able to make eye contact with people. You know, people say, oh, well, so many people hit on you because you're always making eye contact. Well, yeah, I want to connect with my fellow human beings. Like, why don't...
You should keep your eyes downcast like a proper lady.
Yes. Yeah.
And be more demure and not flaunt your beauty.
But flaunting your beauty was just having a good time and being you.
No, well, there was one time I wanted to clobber you.
When?
When we were in Cuba and you had that damn white skirt up to your pupic. Every time you sit down, I thought, well, her clit's going to fly out now.
I retired it. Okay, the white skirt is in retirement.
Oh,
it's gone.
If I ever see it again, I'm going to rip it off and shred it.
It was one of those things I bought it in Malibu, and it was fun on the beach.
I bought it in Malibu, and it was very, very fashionable.
It's beachy.
And that's what everybody was wearing.
We were in the Caribbean. I mean, it's
we
not
were
like
in the
I would
Caribbean,
wear it.
And all of these horny Cuban dudes are like... And here's this poor old dyke or whatever I was or client.
We did have some fun, though.
Oh, I loved it. What a trip. Once in a lifetime, kid. That was fabulous. But what I thought they think that you were my secretary or my helper, assistant. And it wasn't until...
Eli Coleman.
Yeah, Eli said, no, they thought you had rented her. You were her client. And I went, oh, well, yeah, older wealthy women do that.
Sex tourism, yeah, absolutely.
They do it in Cuba. They do it all over the world. There's something about that terrifies me. Why can't I do that? Why can't I buy sex?
I think that's how most women feel, that if you have to buy sex, you're a loser. If you have to use a sex toy,
no,
you're a loser.
No, I'm beyond that. It's too... You don't know, and I mean, and now I do this with a client. I don't want to know who's going to show up. But when I think about it with a person, call up a place and hire a beautiful woman or a young, handsome boy to come sexually entertain me.
Yes, please.
Get in here. Now take all your clothes off. I mean, obviously, I'd know what to do. You know, I mean, I can... Obviously, but I don't
know.
So
do you think it's an intimidation factor? What's keeping you...
I don't know. I'm working on it. No, so I was going through all of this. Now I know what my mother was going through. She supported me to do whatever I wanted to do, and then I would embark, and then she'd go, oh, well, it's now, you know, now the cat's out of the bag. Everybody's going to know. It's a difference between us. But then when, you know, it is the neighbors, what will the neighbors think? And when I did the erotic art show, you know, drawing pictures of sex, that doesn't sound so bizarre. Or.
But at the time.
At the time, it was unheard of.
And the Justice Department got involved to say, is that obscenity? There was a court case for the publication of those images in a magazine. Like, that's big shit.
The DA was banging away on the lesbian picture.
Lesbian sex, that's a absolute sign of perversion.
Oh, the lesbian orgy?
A lesbian
my
orgy.
Favorite.
Yeah, me too.
That's a perfect sign of obscenity.
All the women will start fucking each other and they won't fuck us anymore.
Yeah, no, that was his favorite fantasy. He's still beaten off to it, I bet. He will retain that image indefinitely.
It's so silly.
So what it is that you I think have you, this is, see, what I was doing with, you know, in the art world and in a couple of men's magazines with the drawings or talking about masturbation wasn't you're putting yourself out as a sex object / subject, but that's what this whole...
That's the whole point.
But this whole society is based on that. And so will people not see you and see who you are? And
I don't think so. Not from the comments and the reactions I'm getting from the photos. It's that you're real. I feel like I'm there and I'm celebrating and I'm open and I'm letting you in to see me. I feel like I have to model the behavior. I feel like I'm a woman who's educated and accomplished. I've been around the block. I know what I'm talking about.
And you can take pride.
And I can take pride in it at 37. I wouldn't do this at 27.
Oh.
I love that part in Marie Claire. I said, you know, the majority of my mileage was accrued when I was 30. And I got out of a bad relationship and I went my party girl phase. And as an adult woman, clubbing around Manhattan, going to parties, having sex with celebrities, that's the way to do it.
When you know who you are and you know what you want.
You're in control. So I kind of slow walked all of this. And I feel like, yeah, saying I had 3 abortions. Yeah, I've been treated for chlamydia. I got it through a condom. Yeah, I penetrated myself for the first time with a Barbie doll. You know, all these different things. It's just you come out and this is how, and other people, like we're getting comments on YouTube. Oh, I remember the first time I masturbated in the bathtub as a little girl and I did XYZ. It's normalizing it. And that's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to become famous.
Well, the intent doesn't hurt.
Well, if it brings up traffic.
That's what I mean.
If it gets the message across.
That's what it's doing.
Because there's no reason that someone like me has to do this.
To get laid.
Or to get famous. Or to get money. I already have all those things. So why are you doing it?
To build traffic.
Build traffic and show people it's okay. You can come out of the closet and talk about sexuality and talk about what you do and it doesn't matter. Look at you and your memoir.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to show up and...
And you were really nervous about releasing it.
It's so much information. And my only feeling has always been that I'm giving my enemies so much information.
But nothing happened.
Nothing, no. As a matter of fact, just my friend today, he sent me a little mini essay on his childhood sexuality. It was adorable.
It's stimulating other people to share.
And remember when Garrett said, I've got to write more personally.
Just do it. Just do it. What are you afraid of?
Come on, folks. Out of the closet. I really mean out of it. Talk about the activity that you like. That's why I love the questions. They're asking questions about sexual activity.
I love the Ask Dr. Betty questions. They're my favorite.
Me too.
They're my favorite content on the site. Like, of all the things we have,
well, you start reading them and you can't stop.
No, it's addictive.
So the one I got today was this 37-year-old woman who's, you know, somewhat sophisticated. She's orgasmic. She has a new boyfriend, and she's been thinking about anal sex, and he's really excited about the idea. They all are.
Well, of course. I mean, is he breathing?
And she said, but he has a porn dick. It's like 8 inches, and it's really thick girth.
Well, I know how that feels.
Well.
I give her a couple pointers.
So she says, I know it's. I'm going to have to gradually stretch out, and it isn't really stretching out your anus. What it is learning to let the muscles go.
And it's going to be about being empty, using enemas, so you don't have to worry about those things. And for me, it's position. I would do spooning position. For some reason...
Oh, that's not full penetration.
It's not full penetration. You just feel in control. And if ever it gets a little too much, you can like move pull your away. Legs around. And
pull
like,
away.
If you pull your knees in, you're going to lose an inch or two right there.
I should have said that.
That's how I do it because my man has a really big dick. And when we have anal, and it's not all the time because it's not something you can do all the time. When it's big, it's got to be a whole preparation.
Oh, it's a lot to it.
That's how we do it. Tons of lube. And for me, it's like you have to have a ton of orgasms before that. Like, I want to want it.
Oh, yes. It has to be a desire on the woman's part. Well, I sent it off today, and if she comes back to me, I'm getting what's happening now is that I answer the question and then they come back and they either thank
that's
me
so cool.
Or they ask a little extra information or whatever. So I didn't like spoon, the side position.
I don't in general like it, but when someone has a very large penis, that's a very good position.
Because it's not full penetration.
And also when a guy has a big penis, to pull it in and out can be a lot of work if he's on top. So it's kind of like both people don't have to exert that much energy.
Makes a lot of sense.
Another thing I did this week, too, I was thinking about it. It's not just Marie Claire and the photo shoot. Is for the 38th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, I wrote a piece about my 3 abortions. And I talked about who I was with and the circumstances of why I got pregnant. Then I talked about the type of abortion I had. And it was interesting because then women started throwing in the surgical versus the RU486. And that was another, I didn't realize it at the time, but that was a big thing. Coming out and talking about how you got pregnant by accident.
That's how it usually happens. By accident.
99.9% of the time.
Now, I never had a failed pregnancy, I mean an accidental pregnancy with the diaphragm, unless I forgot to put it in.
Well, it was interesting because I said there was one, my first abortion was a condom that broke. So I was using protection. And then my second one was I had gone off the pill and I was using condoms and I was my party girl phase and I figured this will keep you safe. You know, you'll have no choice. And then I fell in love with a married man and we started doing the rhythm method, pulling out, you know, withdrawal. And that didn't work, you know, but I figured I was over 30. All my friends couldn't get pregnant. So I admitted that, like, I was not safe.
The height, the prime time is up to about mid 30s, 32, 33, 34.
I felt like my body just wanted to get pregnant because I had 2 abortions in my 30s, like almost back to back.
So it says, now's the time. You're going to have to go for it. Well, my first one was very young, 20, 22, and I was using spermicidal, just the foam. Remember the foam?
Mm.
Was that ever around in your day?
We used to do foam and condoms, yes.
I just did the foam, not the condom. And it worked fine until, you know, I ran out. And we're in bed, and I go to get it, and there's, you know, it's just bad planning. And so he said, don't worry, I'll pull out.
Famous last words.
Famous, very famous. I'll pull out.
I got control of this.
The check is in the mail.
And you're hot at that point. You want to fuck.
Oh, and I was so crazy about him.
Well, that's always it. When you're in love with someone and you're really into them, that's when you're going to get knocked
up. We don't talk about this incredible pull.
It's almost like you want to get pregnant. Like your body takes over and you're not even in control.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I mean, wonder why teens get pregnant? please. They're just victims of their hormones.
And then for some of the poor women, it's the first time they have something that's theirs, that they own, their baby.
Purpose. So what about your second one?
Drunk. Third one, I was spotting, and I thought my period was coming on, so I didn't bother to put the diaphragm in, but I was ovulating. So if ovulating, see, that I didn't know that.
That spotting can be ovulating.
Yeah. No one ever told me that.
No, no one ever tells you that stuff, because then you'd know how not to get pregnant.
Or you'd keep track. You'd have a calendar. You'd, you know, after that, boy, I kept a calendar. I knew exactly when my last period was and when to expect the next one. And I had a very irregular pattern, terribly irregular.
So did I. That's why I went on the pill, because I had ovarian cysts, and I would have, like, my period on and off. Like, I'd have 1 month I had it 3 times in a row. It was just always weird. And I had one pregnancy where I bled the whole time. Like, I had my period. And I was bleeding. Like...
But you were still pregnant.
Yep. That's the one that got away from me, and I was like, damn.
Abort, abort.
I remember sitting in the room waiting for my abortion, and I was like with my little sidekick phone, and I started making jokes with all the women. It's like, you're going into your execution. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, I'm like, come on.
Can liberation, we have a good time? Liberation.
It's no big deal.
My favorite thing of all, Carlin, is when that woman on YouTube, she starts off by saying...
She tweeted her abortion.
Yeah, she said, I'm having an abortion, Angela, right now. Ah!
That's the abortion by the pill. So my first abortion was surgical. My last two were by the pill. And it was such a difference, because, like, when you're getting the surgical abortion, you worry. There's risk of infection, hemorrhaging, all kinds of things. You can have an allergic reaction to the anesthesia, not wake up. You know, there's all... Whereas with the pill, you go to the office... to the clinic, they give you the pill, you take it, then you go home, you insert 3 pills in your vagina, and you have a heavy period for 2-3 days and you're done. And then you go back to the clinic and they just make sure everything's out. It's like there's no risk to your life. None. Zero.
Perfect. It's so easy. So
why can't, like,
we will. We will. That pill will be available. It'll be available
in Australia. It's illegal. One of our users was like, this is illegal in Australia. I was so happy I put that out there, you know, that I had it by the...
But they can get it over on the internet. The whole point is that if, you know, we've got to be more clever. Because you can, or we can order drugs from Canada. Or you can make a connection with somebody in America that would mail you the pill. Come on, we got to think outside the box.
That would be hot, like a network.
Establish that kind of a network, woman to woman. Absolutely. That's how the abortion thing started off.
Oh, I love that interview with Carol Downer, that podcast. It's on our site, audio podcast, because yes. She was talking about they were doing like menstrual extraction like they do in Cuba. Little syringe, little tubing, and you have a late period and they just suck it all out.
Simple, so simple.
So safe.
Safe and simple, inexpensive, no harm. That this is all about men wanting to control women, because that's the big thing. They all have uterus envy, womb envy.
Womb envy.
Because we have the babies. They just have wars.
I've been feeling very much like that. Like, I'm so happy I'm a woman. Like, I'm so glad I'm not a man. And it's not that I love men. You know what I mean? Like,
on some days.
On some days, yes. But I just love my vantage point. I love my power. I love my body. I love being a woman. I love connecting with other women. I would never want to be a man. And I think that's also a very difficult role to fulfill in this culture.
I played the role for a while, and it's murderous. It's
You're terrible. Responsible for everything.
Everything. Terrible feeling. Exhausting. You have to make all the decisions. You have to have the money. You have to take control of everything. Oh, and then after I had a revert, I reverted back to femi-fem.
You got to switch it up.
Oh, I had to take a vacation from being butch. So we all want to have a middle ground where we are you know, in other words, we incorporate both the male and female roles. It's all about roles. Gender is a stupid word. It's the social expectation for the role a woman must play and a man must play that gets us into trouble.
And I've never been the right woman. I know that. I remember I would do things and people would react negatively and I'd be like, did I do something wrong? Like, what should I have done? Like, I don't get it. I know I missed the mark, but I don't get it.
See, I never ever asked. It's just like, you don't like it, get lost. You really...
Well, that's rubbed off on me. I think that's why I feel so happy. You've rubbed off on me.
Yes,
that,
no,
in that
you
sense.
Really, you, of all my friends, you really want to be a good girl.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you're rejected by your primary parents and you're not accepted and they kick you out of the house, yeah, you become a little bit of a pleaser. You want to please.
All the time.
All the time.
And I had the advantage of a mother that said I was perfect just the way I was. Well, she did say it. I looked better when I had a little makeup on. Betty Ann, you can look so pretty. Why don't you get dressed up?
Oh, I've always said, you can be so beautiful. That's the only time she would say it was beautiful. You pulled your hair back and you put on a dress. You could look so pretty.
Pretty is the word.
Will I be pretty?
Will I be rich? Pretty? Will I be rich? Nah, you'll be a slut like us.
Fuck them. Fuck them and feed them fish heads. Who cares? Yeah. I can't say I would want that for a daughter.
No, but I got to tell you, the feeling is that this is a awful, cruel, nasty world out there. And women are like, we're like the game, and you know, and the men are hunters, and they want pussy, and they want you, and they'll get you, and they'll throw you down, and they'll, I mean, it's like scary. So
it sounds kind of hot though. Huh? Kind of turned me on. They'll hunt you and throw you down. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, but if it ever happened, it'd scare the shit out of you.
No, definitely no.
Well, because you were a big crybaby when you had the guy, your ex, throw you down on the sidewalk. I would have kicked his nuts off or in.
He was a very strong, beefy guy. And he was crazy. No, not compared to him. And he was nuts. Like, when someone's crazy, they have superhuman strength.
Have you ever considered taking a martial arts class?
I did.
Which one?
I did like a self-defense one. My mom made me take it like in junior high, and I was getting all into it. You know, he had the element of surprise.
Well, that's always what
I was
we
in
want.
A big winter coat, and I was carrying two big shopping bags because it was Christmas Eve, and I was shopping for the final gifts, and he had the element of surprise. I didn't want to break all these glasses I bought. So when he pushed me, I just went over, you know. I wasn't, if it was summertime, if I didn't have all the things, it might have been different.
Well, you'll have a chance to make that up to me, where you clobber the guy.
I had an older brother. I know how to fight.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
And I have no problem. And that when you get me to a certain point, I can get very angry. And I'm very aggressive physically.
I know.
Seen that. I'm very aggressive.
I think when we're together, I think, you know, I've got the mouth. And you're really the butch.
I'm the butch. You're the femme.
Oh, totally.
That's so fucking funny.
Totally femme. I mean, it embarrasses me when I see it sometimes.
There have been times in my life I had to pull back on the anger because I'll just look at someone, and if I get in the right zone, it doesn't happen a lot. But I almost killed my mother once. I remember I came home. She was making my life a living hell. She was sleeping on the couch, and I saw her little slender neck, and I just thought I could grab it, just squeeze the life out of her, and it's over.
Oh, we've all had moments of.
But I do it all the time. I look at people and I know exactly where to attack.
Homicide, yeah. We want
to. Yeah. You just look
at
them
and take
them
down. Well, now, sex and death and violence. Here we go again.
Well, it's kind of hot, sex and violence.
You think?
Well, I'm not really into violent sex, though. I think the beauty of sex is you kind of shut down certain parts of you and you just open up and you exchange that energy with someone else, and I think, and that's beautiful.
It's happy. It feels good.
But and the orgasm is still always about you. Like at the end of the game, like me, I shut my eyes and yeah, I'm being stimulated, but it's like I'm in my own place.
You gotta be to come.
Do you think that's an issue for women?
All the time.
Do you think self-esteem keeps women from having orgasms?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On a lot of levels. The fact, you know, do you deserve it? And you, it, to focus your mind on your body and what you're feeling, that's very difficult.
It's very selfish, right?
Oh, there you go. You should be thinking about somebody else.
You can't be selfish. Please someone else. Nurture someone.
We're the nurturers.
Do you see that a lot in your practice?
Well, the women that are coming in can be, you know, most of them are married and have one or two children. But not all. No, it's right across the board, Carlin.
Women, well, I don't think you have to have children to feel like you have to please.
No, the problem is it's how we define sex. That's the problem. And nobody goes
so
there.
So define sex. Break it down.
How we define sex.
That how it, should we define sex?
Well, all right. When people say sex, they visualize a penis going in and out of a vagina.
So heterosexual.
Immediately.
Procreative.
That, yeah, it's procreation. Now, that is true. That is how you make a baby. But that is not how most women have an orgasm. Fuck Freud. You know, he didn't have a pussy. What is he talking about, the old Jew? I really, it pisses me off.
Yeah, but if you're a psychologist, what do you know about sex? You know what I mean?
I'm a sexologist.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what does he know? Why is he credited?
Well, it's because the Organization of Psychiatrists, blah, 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 blah. Say so. You know, it's like the MDs. It's like the AMA, the APA, whatever. He has credentials. He's famous. He's, you know, revered. The point being that's procreative sex. Now, I know we have G spots and D and S and Q and P and L and M and all the rest of the alphabet is now.
And we've enjoyed that stimulation. Absolutely.
Is
we've both enjoyed that stimulation.
No, it feels great. It's. I keep saying it over and over. It's a combo. A question came in today. With a barbell, I can have an ejaculation, an orgasm. I have a squirting orgasm. And with the magic wand, I have an intense clitoral orgasm. So the squirting isn't necessarily an orgasm.
No, you can squirt and not orgasm. Absolutely.
And it feels great. And the guys love it because they think they've made you come real big. But it isn't the same thing as having an orgasm. Now, some people say they squirt and then they have an orgasm afterwards. Or they have an orgasm and then they squirt. So then I said, and when you have the vibrator on your clitoris, you know that you're having a big, and she called it a clitoral orgasm. Right. Now,
there are types of orgasms.
What would happen if you combined both? Why do we have to constantly go either or?
And. What can it be and? Both.
Yes.
Together.
Do the intercourse with the penis and the vagina and keep the vibrator on your clitoris and go to heaven.
Or just use your fingers. If you don't like the vibrator, use your fingers.
So we'll see what happens. But there it is. This is a woman who had a late start in sex. And she got the barbell and she got the magic wand. And now she's, you know, her husband died several years ago. She never had an orgasm, never enjoyed sex. Why would she enjoy sex? She doesn't know anything about it. Her husband doesn't. We do not school people.
No.
Why should anybody know what to do when it comes to sex? Except... stick it in, make a baby.
Well, that's the biological urge to do that. Yes, that's one part of it. But I love when you always say that, you know, we value experience in every other aspect of our lives except sex.
Nope. Don't
you have to go to school to practice certain things? You have to, you know, driver's ed to drive, all these different things. But with sex, oh, hands off the wheel. We'll give you a lot of titillation, a little porn, a little entertainment, get you all hot and bothered. But then there can be no sex information.
Well, porn has become the only sex information, and that's male entertainment. So it's
mostly. There's a little bit from women, but mostly men.
No, it's mostly male entertainment. enormous amount of cock sucking and coming on women's faces and hard fucking. Nah, most women don't like that.
Well, that's not how you come. Well, that's where we're going tonight. We're going to the One Leg Up panel, and we're going to discuss that new film they did about...
I think, are we the only ones that have seen it?
No, I think, well, Laura Lee will be there, one of the stars in the film.
Yeah.
And I think it will be interesting to see, because that's... We're going to be debating monogamy, and we're going to be debating kind of pornography and sex skills. Where, you know, there were parts of that movie that I really liked.
Me too. No, they did a good job. A couple of things that you never get to see in porn.
I forget the name of it. It's a swingers party in San Francisco. What it's like. But I have to admit, I was thinking about the film because I was looking at the questions they're going to ask us. And out of everything that was hot, the hottest thing in my mind was the two women that were on the pole. They were pole dancing. And they had these little silk dresses on. And they were on the pole upside down. And they slid slowly and then hit the ground and kind of rolled. And I remember thinking, out of every image that I've seen, and we saw a lot of different types of sex acts, that was the hottest. And then that one scene where Laura Lee grabbed the lube and came out with the lube and started lubing everyone up, that was hot.
Now, the one I remembered is in the very beginning, the first married couple that swing. That was such a hot scene between them. They covered the...
That's Laura Lee and the guy. Yes.
They covered the waterfront. I went, yeah.
And they were having a good time.
Oh, absolutely.
And her energy on camera was fabulous. She was into it.
Totally.
And she was the one always grabbing the lube. And I was like, yeah, we know someone who likes to fuck.
That's a pro. That's a pro. Get that lube going.
So we're going to go to our panel. And then we'll be back. Maybe next week we'll do another one. We're going to try to do a weekly audio podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about the panel next time.
Mm-hmm.